I wanted to talk. You know what I wanted to throw out there? And we haven't really talked about it in a while, but I think it's good to retouch it, because those who maybe are drifting away from Trump or having reservations about Trump, because people in our own party are going after him. But I want to revisit exactly where Trump has made his money and exactly what he has done. Because Democrats are trying to paint Trump as Mitt Romney. They're trying, as a paper pusher and he has been rich by shuffling money, and that he doesn't hire people, his businesses don't hire people, and that the things he does to make money only benefit him. And yes, I know the media is controlled by Dems, and we will never, ever control the White House. We will never, ever control policy as long as we don't control the media, 100%. But it is amazing how people can honestly spout off the stuff they say, knowing that 100% of it is BS. I mean, it's amazing to me. You know, when Trump was in Europe, and he was at Scotland in his golf course, and the media was going nuts because Trump was asked a question about the economy and the implications of Brexit, and Trump talked about the pound and it going down and people going to Turnberry and it being good for him, and everyone was outraged. Everyone in the media was, how could he turn this into a stunt for his golf course? And well, remember, that golf course employs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. It's not like he is at the golf course. It's not like he is behind the counter ringing people up as they come in, or serving people food, or cooking people food. There's hundreds and hundreds of people that work at Turnberry. So when Trump says, well, it's good for me. Anytime Trump says, well, that's good for me, this is good for me, it also means it's good for everybody involved. Because every single business that Trump has involves hundreds, if not thousands, of people. This notion that he's a Mitt Romney paper-pushing billionaire is ludicrous. The notion that he's who are some other paper-pushing billionaires? Who are some other paper-pushing billionaires? The hedge fund guys. Look up in your Wikipedia and place those names into what I'm saying. But this notion that that's how Trump has gotten his fortune is lunacy. And when you hear them say, how is Trump going to be good for American companies when the products that he owns are all made in China or Mexico? And again, it's an absurd argument. It really is, considering Trump is a businessman. And he does that because it's the only way to compete with everybody else in that field. So the notion that he's not going to make it where him and other companies don't have to do that is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. It really is. It's ridiculous. He does that because that's the only way you can make products like shoes or ties. Because if you wanted to make them in America, you would go out of business. Just ask American Apparel. So if we had a president that understands that, that president can put together policy that would prevent companies from having to go overseas to make shoes and pants and shirts. You know, I've said this before, guys. There was a time when all the products that we use today were made here in America. My grandmother worked in a haberdashery. My grandmother worked in a clothing factory. That was legit. My grandmother, along with, I must have been 500 other women and guys, were like on a sewing line. Well, the only reason that doesn't exist today is because in China or Bangladesh, that same sewing line that we had here is now run by 10-year-old kids that get paid 17 cents an hour. So in turn, they make the stuff that we used to make, but they make it 10 times cheaper because these people get paid pennies on the dollar and are stacked 10 deep in rooms, in buildings that burn down and kill them. So my question to you, as you listen to a Mark Levin or other individuals go, oh my God, if you put in policies that tax these countries, we're going to be paying $25 for a pair of socks and $50 for a pair of... That's not the case, because that wasn't the case when we used to make things. We didn't pay $25 for a pair of socks. We didn't pay $100 for a t-shirt. That's just not the case. We used to make products in this country. We don't anymore because you have Bangladeshi kids doing it. So to say, how's Trump going to create jobs or come up with power? He makes this. Yeah, but he does it because he has to. When he's sitting there working with, Macy's or whoever it is, and he goes, yeah, I want to make ties. And they go, okay, well, this is where we do it. And he goes, no. I want to do it here in the United States. And Macy's or whoever the company, they go, that's not going to happen. There is no company in the United States that makes ties. Well, I want to make ties in the United States. Well, it doesn't work like that. It's impossible. It's impossible. When Ivanka goes, I want to make shoes here. No, that's not how it works. Well, I want that. Well, that's not how it works, Ivanka. They're made in China. Oh, well, why? Well, because cost-wise, we'll never be able to compete with these other brands because their price point is A, B, and C. This is what they cost. This is how it's done. It's impossible to compete. Now, we could compete if those companies all played by the same rules. Oh, okay. I mean, that's all it is, guys. It's basically saying to a company in Japan or a company in China, you have to play by the same rules that we play. Plain and simple. So it's an asinine statement from the left. It's an asinine statement from the left to say, oh, well, Trump has products made overseas. How is he going to bring jobs here? How is he going to change these policies? Well, because he's part of that world. He understands. He understands this product can't be made here because the 8 products that we're competing with are all made in Bangladesh or they're made in Taiwan. Now, we could, if those people didn't make the products. Remember, the product itself is not the cost. It's the labor. Do you get that? The plastic is not the cost. The leather is not the cost. The plastic widgets are not the cost. The glass is not the cost. That's all what it is. It's the labor. It's the 3 people putting it together. That in the United States, we pay $10 on the factory line, $15 on the factory line, $20 on the factory line. But in an economy that's run by the government, whether it's China or some other dictatorship where you go work for the state and the state pays everybody $6. And now that state puts out a television. The plastic costs the same. The glass costs the same. The components cost the same. But where we have to tag $300, $400, $500, whatever on top of that product because of the labor, they don't. And you can say, well, Rob, if you put a tax on that, they're just going to raise the price. Well, and, well, then the American people are going to be paying more for that product. No. You can only raise the price on goods so much until someone goes, I'm not going to buy that. And then somebody comes along and goes, well, I'm going to make that cheaper. At some point, company is either going to have to lower that price or not raise that price to get Americans or get people to still buy that product, or you're going to get American companies that say, hey, we could start making TVs again. We could start making these products again that we used to make. This notion that all of a sudden stuff is going to be quadruple the price is nuts. And everybody throws around iPhone. Oh, now you're going to pay $3,000 for an iPhone. No, you won't, because you just won't get it. You won't get an iPhone. If iPhone comes out and goes, all right, the next iPhone, because of these deals, are now going to be $2,000. People go, I'm not going to buy it. I don't need a new iPhone every year. My iPhone 6S is fine with me. I don't need the iPhone 7S. And I'm not going to pay $3,000 for it. So then Apple is going to have to make a calculated decision. They're going to have to go, okay, so do we make less money in our coffers? Does our business make less money because we're not going to be able to compensate and adjust for the tariff or extra money we're going to have to pay for labor, whatever it is? Are we going to sell less? They'll have to adjust. And if they don't adjust, then their sales will falter and somebody else will come in and make a product. And the American people will go, oh, I'm going to buy that. It's just as good. Sure, the iPhone's a little better with this feature or that feature, but hey, this Zuki is $1,000 less, so I'm cool with it. So having somebody that's part of that system, that's very valuable. Trump is not a paper pusher billionaire. When Obama goes and does an NPR bit, that's what I call it, because he's like a comedian now. You know, it's shtick. And he says, Mr. Trump embodies global elites and has taken full advantage of it his entire life. So he's hardly the spokesperson, a legitimate spokesperson for a populist surge of working class people on either side of the Atlantic. Again, how do you figure? Obama, along with Hillary Clinton, haven't done a thing their entire lives that put working people, okay, that put working people in positions to feed their family. Meaning, they never had a business. They never did anything that employed people. They've made their money giving speeches. They've made their money being community organizers. They never had an idea and went, hey, I'm going to open up an ice cream stand. This ice cream stand will employ 5 people. Oh, my ice cream stand's doing good. I'm going to open up another ice cream stand. Oh, I'm going to employ 5 more people. So now I got 2 ice cream stands. I'm employing 10 people. I'm paying a landlord in two places. That landlord is feeding his family with the money I'm paying for rent. These 10 employees are paying that I'm paying are feeding their family with their wages. The vendors that we're buying the ice cream product from, they're feeding their family because we're buying the ice cream product from them. The construction workers are feeding their family because they built the inside. You see what I'm saying? Trump's that guy. Obama's not. When he says, oh, he's not a spokesperson for the working class. Well, then who is? You? Hillary Clinton? Hillary Clinton gets paid by a bank to give a speech. What did she do for the working class? What did she do for working people? Nothing. When Trump has a hotel, okay? When Trump has a hotel, when Trump has a golf course, when Trump has Trump Steaks, when Trump has a football team with the USFL, when Trump has an airlines, when Trump has water, when Trump has the university, when Trump has all of these entities, they employ people. They're not paper pushing. He's not going, okay, I got $1 billion here. Now I'm going to push this $1 billion over here, and it's going to gobble up Staples. And we're going to liquidate all their goods. And then we're going to take that. I mean, that's not Trump. Because we're going to build a building right here. All right, so we need 75 masons. We need 100 carpenters. Boom, 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 boom. Just like that. Even The Apprentice. Think about the amount of people that are involved in The Apprentice. Camera guys, grips, lighting, script writers, editors, line producers. Everything that Trump has done has involved employing people. So when Obama does his shtick, okay, when Hussein Obama does his shtick and says, Mr. Trump embodies global elites. Global elite. Obama is a global elite. Hillary Clinton is a global elite. Bill Clinton is a global elite. Listen, when you have spent your entire life working for the government or working for a church or working for a quote-unquote nonprofit, you're not doing anything for the working class. You're not doing a damn thing for them. You know, I love when I hear the BuzzFeeds and the I'm always on top of them in my brain, BuzzFeeds, the Voxes. That whole crew, and they go, yes, and Mr. Trump, one of Mr. Trump's non-making money golf courses. Listen, the world of business is very complicated. It's almost too complicated for the simpletons. First off, the majority of corporations, the majority of businesses, don't necessarily show huge profits. Remember, if there's money in the corporation and you don't have the luxury, if you don't have the luxury, okay, of a Apple or some of these other just trillion-dollar entities, if you don't have the luxury of being able to set up offshore shell accounts and to harbor your money and so forth and so on and not pay tax on here and there, if you don't have that luxury, you don't want to necessarily show profits in a corporation because you got to pay tax on that. Okay? Now, when a golf course isn't quote unquote making money, okay, it's still making money. All right? People are getting paid. The people that work for Turnberry or the people that work for Mar-a-Lago, they're getting paid. They're not getting paid with IOUs. They're getting paid with cash. Okay? Sure, the company itself might not be showing a profit, but people are making money. And if you know how business works, if you know how the real business world works, corporations aren't supposed to show millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of obscene profits. It's just not the way it works. Unless you have these big tax shells, unless you have all of these games, you don't want that company to show profits. Listen, no one wants to pay tax, okay? This notion that you're supposed to want to give your money to the government so then they can use that money to force schools and businesses and airports to put up transgender bathrooms is ludicrous. Okay? It's ludicrous. If you look at where your money goes, you'd be a fool to go, you know what? I want to pay more tax. Yeah. That bridge that I drive across every day that looks like it's going to fall down, I'm glad that's not fixed, so that somebody could go into a bathroom, a guy could go into a bathroom wearing a wig. Yeah, that's what I want. So it's insane, absolutely insane to think, you know what? I want to pay more tax. Yeah, that's it. I want to pay more tax so congressmen and senators can make more money. I want to pay more tax so they could go on little junkets. Yeah, that's what I want. Little retreats. What, are you kidding me? Are you retarded? Am I dealing with retards? Seriously, am I dealing with retards? I know that's politically incorrect to say, and I know people that have retarded kids are like, oh my God, I can't believe you're saying that. And I shouldn't be saying that, because maybe my kid will be retarded. But seriously, are you retards? Nobody wants to pay more tax. People want to pay less tax. You know when people will pay more tax? If somebody actually came out and said, all right, here's where the tax money's going. Somebody actually said, here's a legitimate budget. Here's the budget of the United States. this dollar, like real people have to do. You know, when you're putting a budget for your house and you're like, okay, my rent is this. My food every week is this. My car payment is this. My insurance is this. It's like every one of us have to do that. But our government doesn't. Our government doesn't do it. They don't do it. They absolutely don't do it. And we don't have the luxury of going, we're going to budget in $3,000 for this completely obscure, useless thing. I mean, most of us have to sit there and go, okay, do I want to X out going out to dinner and a movie this week because I'm short on cash, because I got to pay for, you know, this problem that happened? We don't get the luxury that the government does. We don't get the luxury that they all do. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So these golf courses that BuzzFeed and them say, oh, they're not making money. They're making money. Okay? On paper, they might not be making money. But the hundreds of people that work for them are making money. Trump water, Trump steak. Whether they're in business or they're out of business, they make money. And when you hear them go, well, some of this stuff, Trump just slaps his name on. He just slaps his name on it. Well, stupids. Okay? You stupids. If that name creates business that wouldn't have been there, that's creating jobs. That's providing for people to feed their families. So rather Trump owns that building or he leases his name, it's creating jobs. Like I said, all of these people are either ignorant or they're purposely ignorant. Or maybe they're both. Maybe they're both. When Hillary Clinton puts out a tweet of a Trump shirt and goes, outsourced to Bangladesh. Like, again, I mean, are people that ignorant to go, oh, yeah, see? Trump, what's he talking? I mean, are they that ignorant to go, well, he does that because he has to do it. What he's saying is he wants to change that. He wants to change the fact that him and countless other companies have to make their clothing in other countries. I mean, is the low information voter that stupid? That's what I want to know. Is the low information voter that stupid? Do they not understand that? Do they not understand that? This isn't a gotcha. It's like the Democrats are trying desperately to do to Trump what they've successfully been able to do to people like Mitt Romney or other businesses, other business leaders. And paint them in this picture of double talking and saying one thing and doing something else. I mean, is this going to work? Is there that many low information voters that don't get what Trump is saying? Do they not understand when Trump goes, listen, I am no different than these other companies that I talk about. I am in the ball game. I am in the same position with China and Mexico. These deals we have are bad deals. It forces people like me. When I say, I want to make a shirt, I want to make ties, I want to make pants, I want to make suits. And all the companies that do that make it in factories in Bangladesh, in China. You can't make American products. You can't go to a company that makes American products. They don't exist. But they would if we had better deals. I mean, are the low information voters out there, is there too many of them? Do they not get that? Do they not understand when Trump is part of the USFL? And that gets downplayed a lot, and I've talked about it here before because I think it's totally awesome. I think trying to compete with the NFL is huge. I think going head-to-head with that behemoth was huge. Big deal. You failed. Wow, man. You know, you take on a giant, those are the things that happen sometimes. But do you understand? Think about this, okay? Think about this. When Hussein says, Mr. Trump embodies global elites and he's taken full advantage of it his entire life. So he's hardly the spokesperson, a legitimate spokesperson for a populist surge of working class people. So imagine you own a football team, okay? And you're one of the vocal heads of the league. You're like a Jerry Jones of an upstart football league, USFL. So, you own a football team. So, you're employing all the football players. And some of the football players you're paying top dollar to. You're paying above NFL pricing. So, you're now employing a whole bunch of football players. And with that money, they're feeding their families and their extended families. Because you know, them football players, they buy mama a house. They buy the sister a house. It's a whole lineage. So, when Obama says Trump, he's not for the working man. So, you got a football team. You got a whole bunch of football players. Let's say 50. Okay. So, now Trump is paying those 50 people who are feeding their families. Then all the personnel and all the staff, the trainers, the massage therapists, the medical doctors. So Trump's paying all of them. And they're feeding all of their families. Now you got 8 home games. So you got a stadium. Now you're paying. Because if you're going to say, well, the football players, though, they're part of the elites. Okay, fine. You want to say they're part of the elites, even though every single one of them weren't making $1 million, but fine. I'll play your game. Well, you still have a football stadium, and you still have concession stands. You still have groundkeepers. You still have ushers. You still have security personnel. You still have scoreboard operators. You got a lot of working class people that are depending on Trump to fill that stadium with other working class people to have an escape from their working class life. So now you got maybe 100 to 200 personnel, working class people, the concession stands, the ushers, parking people. And that went on for, I don't know, 2 years, 3 years, however long the USFL lasted. And then you had all the businesses that were in the area of the stadium, hotels, bars, restaurants, every single one of those entities made money off of Donald Trump and his football team. And every single one of those entities are part of the working class, a bar owner, a restaurant owner, to a lesser extent, a hotel owner, considering the hotel might be a Hyatt or a Hilton, so it's kind of a big chain, but maybe it's a mom-pa hotel. But think about all the businesses that were in that area. This isn't a guy that pushes papers to make money. This isn't a guy that gobbles up Staples and liquidates its you know, Office Depot, whatever the hell it is, like Mitt Romney would do with Bain Capital. This is a guy that feeds families for years, even the casinos. You know, when you hear the left go, oh, and then Donald Trump bankrupted the casino, think about the people that got hurt. You know what? Think about how many years those casinos were active in Atlantic City. Think about how many people fed their families from those casinos year after year after year. Put that in one hand, and then in the other hand, put how many people were affected when those casinos went bankrupt. That's no different. That is no different than the liberals' concept when you talk about Obamacare or you talk about illegal immigration. And you say, well, look at all the murder that's happened. Look at the, oh, but if you compare that to how many are law-abiding or uncitizens, they're just law-abiding. It's like liberals have a double standard. Well, they always have had a double standard, but the fact that the double standard with Trump and the businesses is just beyond glaring. It's mind-boggling. But if you want to weigh the pros and the cons, the amount of years that Trump was in business in the casino world and the amount of people that were fed, the amount of people that lived, the amount of people that survived versus who was affected when the bankruptcy happened pales. It pales in comparison. And if you add that to what we go through in our government, where we go, wow, that sucked. And our government goes, yeah, but look at all of the good. Hey, I can't get insurance right now because of this Obamacare. But yeah, look at how many of these people have been helped with Obamacare. Sure, you, Mr. 50, 60, 70,000 a year person, you might be inconvenienced, but think about all the people that only make $10,000 a year. Think about all the people that make no money. Think about all those people. That's how we're constantly measuring things in society. Sure, this bad thing happened. Sure, this thing was wrong. But look at all of the positive. But when it comes to Trump, you read a New York Times article and it talks about Trump's time in Atlantic City and it has like three or four people interviewed who are still in business. But they're like, you know, when Trump went bankrupt, our business almost went out. We were a mason company, and our father lost $300,000, and it almost put us out of business. And the New York Times goes, aha, see? He's not a good businessman. Look at who he hurt. Really? Really? You're not going to compare that and put that in the whole aspect of how we compare things with our government? What would you say to me if I said, hey, Obamacare really sucks because I tried to get insurance for my girlfriend and me, and they said I had to wait? I had to wait until open enrollment. And the reason I have to wait for open enrollment is because the Affordable Care Act has taken away the whole underwriting process. So now you have times for open enrollment. Even having money, that's just the way it is. That sucks. Yeah, but Rob, look at all of the people it benefits. So sure, you're inconvenienced, but there's millions of families that benefit. Oh, okay. Well, in Atlantic City, this family, this couple, this brother and sister team who took over their daddy's business, they choked a little because Donald Trump went bankrupt and they got stuck for a couple $100,000 and they didn't know how they were going to survive, but they pulled through it. But they're very upset at Donald Trump. Well, guess what? There's tens of thousands of people, tens of thousands of people who worked for the Trump Taj Mahal, worked at all the events that had the wrestling and the boxing and whatever else was there, at the hotels, at the casinos, at the restaurants. There's tens of thousands of people who will tell you, yeah, I worked there for 8 years. For 8 years I worked there, I made $41,000 a year for 8 years. I put my kid in college, I bought cars, I had a great life. And then the economy went to crap, Atlantic City went to crap, and the casinos went bankrupt, and I had to get another job. But I had a great 8 years, my family had a great 8 years, my extended family had a great 8 years. So in that aspect, you stupid liberal a-holes and you conservative Republican J-O's that are like, oh, never Trump, never Trump. Take that in consideration, you stupid J-O and mother effers. Every one or two or three or four businesses that go, oh, Trump stuck me for $300,000. Trump stuck me for $400,000. Yeah, we're still in business. Do you realize that when you have a business, okay? When you have a thriving business, getting stuck is the nature of the beast. When I was in business and I had a video production company, you know how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that I ate? I had distributors that I sold product to, and for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm collecting money from them, $45,000 for the year from this company. Second year, $60,000. And they're always got a revolving credit. They always are owing me money, the net 60, a net 90. And then after 5 or 6 years, I get a letter, I get a call from the owner, hey man, I'm going bad, I'm sorry. And you know what you do? You go, well, you know what? I picked up about $400,000 from you, and now you're going to stick me for $50,000? It's the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the beast. That's what happens. I'm a company that's doing $5, 6, 7 million a year. That's what happens. When you're a company that's doing volume, when you're a company that's doing business like that, people going bankrupt, people reorganizing. It's the nature of the beast. So when these people are like, yeah, so me and my sister, we took this company over from my dad, and we almost went bad, you know. We had to wither the – Donald Trump owed us $300,000, and we had to eat that. But you don't hear them say how long they were in business with Donald Trump. You never hear that. You never hear anybody that says, oh, I got stuck by this person. You never hear them say how long had they been in business with them. You only hear the bad. I've been on the other end of that dime. I've been on the bend of doing business with somebody and giving them tens of thousands of dollars year after year after year after year. And then going bad and telling that person, yo, man, I can't pay. I'm done. I'm bankrupt. It's over. My company's gone. And having them look at me and go, wow, you're going to stick me for 30 grand? And I go, really? All the money I've given you for the past 10 years, and you're going to cry about 30 grand, you ungrateful SOB? Really? For 10 years, you've literally made almost $1 million from me. And now you're going to badmouth me and say I'm a scumbag because I'm going bad and I'm not going to be able to pay you 30 grand? And are you serious? You never hear that. When the New York Times is doing the little articles on Trump going, oh, this person and that person, you never hear them talk about the good times, plenty of good times. Plenty of good times. Atlantic City was huge for about 10 years. Atlantic City was huge. And everybody that was associated with Trump during that run made bank. And they weren't millionaire and billionaire paper pushers. They were ma and pa working class. They were people that worked the tables. They were people that waited tables. They were valets. They were parking attendants. They were bathroom attendants. They were janitors. They were maids. They were dishwashers. They were cooks. Tens of thousands of people. Tens of thousands of people made money from Donald Trump. Donald Trump employed tens of thousands of working class people. Trump didn't make his money, and he still doesn't make his money from paper pushers. When he walks in a casino or he walks in his hotel, listen, I was at his hotel 6 months ago. The Trump Hotel in Vegas. Huge. Bartenders. Waiters. Receptionists. Bellhops. Hundreds and hundreds of people working there. Those are working class people. So when this a-hole, Barack Hussein Obama, talks about global elite, he's effing delusional. All these Democrats are delusional because they're terrified. That's why they go, oh, Trump's shirt is made in Bangladesh. Yeah, that's why he's saying we have to change this. And who better to change it than somebody that knows the system? Somebody that knows why you have to make a shirt in Bangladesh. Glad we revisited this today, because people forget, the never Trumpers forget. They like to talk about Trump's thing, and just think about this: the people that you hear, like the Ben Shapiro's or the Stuart Stevens, All these people have never done a effing thing either for the working class. Ben Shapiro is a lawyer. He's not working for free in the public defender's office representing dregs of society. Stuart Stevens, you know what they all are? Strategists. For other Obama-like people. I think this is the way to do. They've never built a business and employed blue-collar people. None of them have. All these never-Trumpers never built a business and employed blue-collar workers, construction workers, waiters, waitresses, janitors, bathroom. Not one of these people have. Not one. Not one. George Will. What the F is George Will done? What has George Will ever done to benefit the blue-collar worker? What has he done? What has he done? What? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. None of these people have. They've done nothing. They've never done a effing thing. They haven't done an effing thing. They're your academic types.
Oh, I went to school for political science, and now I write a column for the Washington Post. I am Charles Krautenheimer. I got drunk and drove my car into a swimming pool, and now I'm paralyzed. Hello? And I make my money writing about politics.
He hasn't done an effing thing.
I am a professor. I'm a professor for Harvard.
Haven't created an effing thing. Haven't taken a chance. That's the thing. That's the thing. Taking a chance. You know? It's like the people that go into the yogurt stores and the frozen yogurt, and they get the cup. No, let me have a sample. Let me have another. I don't do that. I go right in. I look at everything, and they go, do you want a cup? I said, no. I go, it's yogurt. That's all it is. It's yogurt. That's it. I go into a bar. Hey, what kind of IPAs you got? Well, I got this IPA. I got this IPA. Do you want a sample? No, I don't need a sample. I mean, beer's beer for the most part. At least in the IPA world. I'm not talking about Budweiser. But for the most part, you know, you got a dark IPA. You got a double IPA. You got a thicker molasses type of IPA. I'll take a chance. I'm edgy like that. Give me that one. Give me a pint, you bloke. It's about taking a chance. And none of these people have ever taken a chance. They've never taken a gamble. They've played it safe their entire lives. And that's why they hate Trump. That really is, because Trump took a chance. He's always taken chances. He's put his balls out on the line numerous times. Numerous times. And they don't like it. They don't like where he is now. And they don't like the fact that here's a guy that's not part of the system. He came in, got more votes than anybody else in Republican primary history. He's not raising the money that they all have had. He's not using the money in ways that they've all done it. He's doing nothing like they are. Nothing. He's doing nothing. And it kills him. It kills him. So what do they say? Well, he bankrupted this company. He has Trump 6. He's not. He's a failed bit. Well, he's not as rich as he said. He's not as But at the end of the day, You can't take away all the businesses he's had and have and the amount of people that they've employed and they still employ. So just remember that the next time you hear a Never Trumper or you hear Obama and they spew out that BS.